wife and I had been at Center's House, looking in my Bible here, reviewing my notes, and I saw the camp meeting bulletin for Kentucky-Tennessee Conference for this year. Vicki and I were speakers there this year. We had done a series of meetings. Vicki was doing health meetings. I was doing a series on the sanctuary. We came home on Sunday, June 1st. Wonderful meetings. The Lord really blessed. Monday, June 2nd, I got up to go to work, went to the bathroom, and it looked like somebody dumped beet water into the toilet. And I said, that's not normal. So I went to my doctor, and the doctor sent me to a urologist. The urologist took a urinary CT scan on a Tuesday, June the 3rd, saw the CT scan on June the 4th, and it didn't look good. My left kidney was twice the size as my right kidney, and there were little white dots all over my ureter. I looked at the doctor and I said, Are you sure that's mine? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. I said, well, what do you think it is? He said, we think it's cancer. I said, there's no way. You don't know the fear that grips your heart until somebody says, you have cancer. Especially when you don't think you'll ever get it. I mean, I've been a total vegetarian for 30 years. I don't drink soda. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea. I don't eat anything that ever had a face on it. If it ever mother or father, don't eat it. If it ever moved, I don't eat it. All the things that can cause cancer, I don't do. I exercise 2 hours a day, 4 days a week. And when the doctor said, you have cancer, I said, there's no way. He said, not only do you have cancer, you need to be gravely concerned because this is a serious type, I think. So he said, I want to get you in the hospital. I want to get you for a cystoscopy on Friday. We're going to put a scope inside there and see what's going on. So I went home that night and laid down in my bed, and I have to admit, Pastor, I was mad at God. But you know, I'm so thankful today that God said in Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. God can take your being angry with him. Here's the secret to salvation. Argue with God till he wins. Argue with God till he wins. That's salvation. That's justification by faith. Argue with God till he wins. Because God's never wrong. And I lay down in my bed that night and I said, Lord, why me? Lord, I've tried to live the way you told me to live for the last 30 years. Why is this happening to me? Lord, this can't be happening to me. Just in the quiet of the night. And I'll never forget that moment. I was laying there looking at the ceiling with tears in my eyes. And it wasn't an audible voice. It was just that, you know, little voice that comes inside sometimes. And the Lord spoke in a very gentle way. He wasn't angry with me. And he said, Dane, would you rather be in good health going into this knowing your health's going to help you fight it? Or would you rather be in bad health hoping you can survive to get your health back on the other side? Where would you rather be? My whole paradigm of what I'm going to talk to you about today shifted at that moment in time. You see, we don't serve God to get good outcomes. That's not why I serve God anymore. I don't eat right to avoid a bad outcome. I do it because God said it's the best thing to do. I do it now because I realize that when you do God's will and you're healthy, you're that much better off. You think better, you act better, you control your temper, you have a better marriage, you have a better ministry, you have to study your Bible better, you pray better. Everything goes better when you're living God's way. But should you get sick, still better off. Because I haven't been abusing my body for the last 30 years. My white blood cells are saying, I can handle this. I can handle this. Every organ of my body is ready for the fight that I've started. And praise the Lord, everything has come back negative. Got the whole tumor out. And what's even more is when they did the cystoscopy, they saw abnormal cells around my bladder where the left ureter comes down. They took a biopsy of it. The biopsy came back low-grade uroepithelial cancer in my bladder. The doctor said, Dane, this is not good news. This is serious. When the cancer has dropped down that far, it can be very serious. When they did the surgery, took out my kidney, left my adrenal gland, praise the Lord, took out the ureter, cut my bladder in half, took six biopsies, cut out the portion where the cancer was, sewed my bladder back together. I had 49 staples in my body, here and down here. The doctor came in, Dr. Zuckerman, very good doctor. I only lost 30 cc's of blood through the whole surgery. Now, that's amazing, because your renal vein is as big as your little hand, as your little finger. Your renal artery is about as big as they got to cut both of those and clamp them off. That's a good surgeon. Well, he came in and he said, I got good news and weird news. So I'll give you the good news first. He said that the cancer was totally contained in your renal pelvis, which is the bottom part of the kidney. It didn't encroach into your kidney. All the lymph nodes were clear. All the muscles were clear. All the surrounding tissue was clear. We got it all. I said, praise the Lord. So now what's the weird news? He said, the weird news is, they can't find any cancer in your bladder. He said, that's really strange. I can't figure it out. I said, I can figure it out. God worked a miracle. And he said, no, I don't believe in miracles. I said, that's okay, Doc. God does. Don't worry about it. So when you serve the Lord, listen, friends, let me tell you something today. When you feel the hot, acrid breath of death chasing you, and I felt it, if you don't have a walk with the Lord at that point in time, you may never get one. Anyone in this audience today who is waiting to get a walk with God, you are on dangerous ground. My life changed in a millisecond. And from that moment until today, all I've been doing is trying to stay alive. If you don't have a walk with God when you are facing the devil square on, you may never get a walk with God. Now is the day to get a walk with God. Now is the day to do what God asks you to do. You don't wait till you get sick and say, okay, God, now I'll do the right thing. That's not the time to do it. You may never get your health back. I praise God today that we serve an awesome God, a miracle-working God. A God that doesn't mind when I went to him one night and said, God, I am so weak. I am so weak from the surgery. I am so weak from what I've been through. Lord, I can't hold on to you today. You've got to hold on to me. God said, don't worry about it. I got you covered. But unless you have those texts in your mind, unless you have made it a habit to study your Bible every morning, unless you have made it a habit to pray to God all through the day, unless you have made it a habit to meditate on God's Word, you may not make it through a time of crisis. I want to talk, maybe I'll come back another time and share more of the story. There is miracle after miracle after miracle that God has worked. I'd love to share it with you, but that's not what I'm here today for. I want to talk to you today about something very special, and that is maintaining the balance of Jesus. There's this text. There's a wonderful pastor. I need my glasses out of that jacket there. I thought I was going to. There they are right there. Isn't it terrible when you get old and you need these extra set of eyes? There's a wonderful passage in one of the best books on health that has ever been written is the book Ministry of Healing. And there's a statement in there that goes like this. It's on page 143. Now, I know that this church in Clare, exists for one purpose. What do you exist for, church? What do you exist for? To win people to Jesus. Sheep exist to make baby sheep. That's where they exist. And listen to this. Ministry of Healing 143, Christ's method alone will give us true success in reaching people. What does it say? Christ method alone will give us true success. Now notice, the Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed His sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs. He won their confidence. Then He had His evangelistic meeting. Then He bid them, follow Me. You see, Jesus here shows a process of soul winning. And the first step sometimes may be talking the spiritual end. But God says here that most of the time, the very first thing we do is what? Mingle with people as one who desires their good. Now notice what else it says. It says on the next paragraph, page 143, listen to this now, if less time were given to sermonizing and more time were spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. Now, we've got to ask ourselves the question today, are we really using Jesus' method in this church? Let me read you another statement. This is from a book called The Review and Herald. It's an old Seventh-day Adventist publication from years ago. It's still on, but this was from years ago. This is volume 4 of The Review and Herald, page 387. Notice what it says. The union of Christ-like work for the body and Christ-like work for the soul is the true interpretation of the Scripture. What does it say? The union of what? Christ-like work. We just read it here. Christ-like work for the body mingled with Christ-like work for the soul. Do you realize that if we're not working for the body, for the health of the people that we are working with, we're not doing God's work? Notice, another wonderful book on health, Counsels on Health, page 34. The Savior devoted more time and labor to healing the afflicted of their maladies than He did to preaching. This, His last injunction to His apostles, His representatives on earth, was to lay hands on the sick that they might recover. Are you hearing what I'm reading today? Listen to this one. This is heavy. This is from that same book, Counsels on Health, page 505. Listen now. Listen carefully. If we would elevate the moral standard in any country, what does it say? Any country where we may be called to go, we must begin by correcting their physical habits. Did you hear that? You see, this is Christ's method. And I'm going to tell you why as we go over. You see in the Bible. Listen what it says. Virtue of character depends upon the right action of the powers of the mind and body. If we would elevate the moral standard in any country, Botswana, Zambia, United States, South America, wherever we go, we must begin where? The same place Jesus began. Open your Bibles for just a moment to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we see the first apostles of Jesus doing the work of Jesus. And in verse 1 of Acts chapter 3, this is an interesting story. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. What does that mean? Lame from his mother's womb. This man had never walked. He had always been lame. There was never a time he could use his feet. He's lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or offerings of people. He was a beggar. He'd ask money for people that were going to the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for an offering. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look at us." Get in your mind what's going on here. This man's expecting an offering. You see, we know what we want. God knows what we need. This man wanted money. But God knew he needed something else. And Peter fastened his eyes on him, said, "Look on us." And the man looked at them, expecting to receive something. Many times when you're doing evangelism, when you're doing door-to-door work, when you're working with somebody at the office, they think they know what they need. They think they know what they want, but you know what they need. And they're expecting one thing, but God's going to tell you to give them something else. Now look what happens here. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, look at this picture. This man had never walked a day in his life. All he asked for was cash. Peter's going to give him a greater gift. And Peter grabbed him by the hand, and the man felt energy spring into his legs, and he stood up and walked. Now look what happens. Verse 7, Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Those are lovely stories. Thanks. Our churches should be filled with people who are doing just that. Praising God for physical healing. You think I'm happy today? Cancer picked the wrong body to fight with, because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Satan tried to knock me down, but God said, "His time ain't up yet. I got more work for this one to do." I can understand what this man was going through. Friends, when you have faced death, you appreciate every day of life. When you haven't been able to walk, you love the fact that you can walk. When you haven't been able to understand the Bible, you love the fact that you can read the Bible. And this man, it says, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was him that had sat by the gate beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at all that had happened to them. Now, what lessons can we get here? Listen to this. What did Peter say? He said, "Silver and gold have I none." You don't need to be rich to be a missionary for Jesus. Anybody can be a missionary for Jesus. Don't you like that? You don't need to be Bill Gates to work for God. Lesson number two. You don't need to be highly educated to work for God. All you need to work for God is Jesus inside. That's all you need. And guess what? Anybody in this room can have that. But look what else happens here. Look what else happens here. Through a simple miracle of healing, the attention of the multitude is arrested. You see, when something like this happens, it gets people's attention. Let's look at another story. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds of couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might heal them." Are you seeing something going on here in the very beginning of the early Christian church? Jesus realized something back then. Jesus realized that to many of the people living on the earth at that period in time, They didn't think they needed anything spiritually. Are you following me? They didn't think they needed anything spiritually, but they knew that they were hurting physically. They knew that they had needs. They saw the demon-possessed. They saw the blind. They saw the lame. They saw the people that were hurting with disease. They didn't think they needed anything spiritually. Are we there today? Oh, my mama's always been in this religion. My grandma's always been in this religion. I'm just fine. But do you have anything that can help my high blood pressure? Do you have anything that can help my cancer? Do you have anything that can help my diabetes? I'm sick, but I'm okay spiritually. Are we there? Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's look at that. Well, we read it in this other quote. What were the very last words of Jesus in Mark 16, 17, and 18? Look at here. Jesus is going back to heaven. Mark chapter 16. 17 and 18. He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Friends, do you realize that all those things have to do with physical needs? Jesus doesn't say here, they will preach great sermons. They will give Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. Now, all those things are important. But what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, my true servants at the end of time will use the ministry of ministering to people's physical needs to prepare the way to bring the gospel to their hearts. That's what God is saying. Are we really working in God's way today? Let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. We talked about it in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. Jesus says, "Verily, verily," that means truthfully, truthfully, you can count on this, I am not lying, I know what I'm saying. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also." What were the works of Jesus? He mingled among people as one who sought their good. He won their confidence. All the things we read in Ministry of Healing. These are the works of Jesus. It says, "All the things that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do." Why? Because I go to my Father. Now, what that means, as you look at what Jesus meant there, he wasn't, how can you do anything greater than raising Lazarus from the dead? You can't do anything greater than that. What Jesus was saying here is they will do greater works in quantity. My people are going to be ministering to the physical needs of humanity just before I come in a greater way than I did, Jesus said. And what do we read? Jesus spent more time healing than preaching. Friends, are we really working in God's way? Now, I want to take you to a story that just puts the capstone on everything. Mark chapter 2. This is an incredible story. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, are you all there? Are we all there? Okay, hold on to your seats now. This is powerful. "And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noticed that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word." Now, don't miss this point. Why do you think one of the reasons was that so many people flocked to see Jesus? They heard he could heal. They heard that he could heal. But what does Jesus do? He takes the opportunity of their need to present what they really need, the gospel. Now let's go on. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne of four. In other words, one man was on each side of the stretcher carrying this man. And when they could not come nigh unto Jesus for the press, there were so many people around, they couldn't get this man near Jesus. They went up onto the roof and broke the roof apart. And when they had broken it up, they let down by ropes where Jesus was, the man who was sick of the palsy. Imagine Jesus sitting there, and all of a sudden, plaster starts falling in from the ceiling. These men are up there. It's not even their house. Now, don't miss this point. Don't miss this point. The man wouldn't have done this for a spiritual need. But when you think you're going to die, you'll do anything to stay alive. When you've been sick all your life, you'll do anything to get better. This man said, look, we can't not see Jesus. I'll pay for a new roof. Just break it down. I can't see Jesus. He can heal me. There is something about physical sickness that is against human nature. Have any of you been there? When that doctor told me, Dane, you have cancer, I said, not me. It's not going to get me. I'm not going to die. It's against human nature to be sick. If it had been a spiritual need, the man would have just said, let's wait till the crowds die down, then I'll see Jesus. But when you think you're going to die, when you think you'll never walk again, when you think you might lose your legs through diabetes, when you think you might have a heart attack through high blood pressure, when you think something's going to happen to you, you will do anything to get better. And when Jesus saw their faith, I love this. Nothing demonstrates our faith like living God's way. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, now this is strange. This is strange. They let a man down through the roof. He didn't have a sign on him saying, I want to be forgiven. Jesus saw his withered legs. This is the creator of the universe. He knew right away what this man wanted, but Jesus knew what he needed. He didn't say, son, you are healed. He didn't say that. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Do you realize that sin can bring sickness? Didn't Jesus prove that in John 5:14 when he had healed the man by the pool of Bethesda? And he saw the man later and he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Our own bad choices. We know we should do this, but we don't do it. We know we should be eating a different way, but we don't do it. We know we shouldn't be drinking that, but we go ahead and do it. Friends, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And our sin can bring sickness on us. But praise God today, we don't have a Savior that says, you got what you deserve. He says, yeah, you're sick. I can make you better. We have a merciful Savior, but friends, it's much better to avoid disease than get it. Let's go on with the story. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now look at this. This is powerful. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they thought in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now does this say they're mumbling back and forth to each other? Because they're thinking it in their brain. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning within themselves, he said unto them, why do you reason like this in your hearts? Now look at this, verse 9. What is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? All right, are you ready for this now? Jesus is setting the stage for us as God's people at the end of time to understand the powerful message that God has given us called health reform, called Christian living. What is it easier, Jesus says, to say thy sins be forgiven or to rise, take up your bed and walk? What's easier, brother? What's easier? It's easier to say, your sins are forgiven. Right? But to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, if he can't walk, they say, you're a phony. Right? Notice, Jesus links his spiritual authority to his ability to work miracles in the physical realm. That's powerful. And then Jesus says this. Now you imagine the eyes of everybody are focused on that man laying on that bed. How big a crowd was there? How big a crowd, Pastor? It's huge. This guy couldn't get in. He had to break the roof to get in. And all the people are looking because Jesus had just laid his whole ministry on the line. Jesus had just laid his spiritual sonship with God on the line. If Jesus can't make this man rise up and walk, he can't forgive sins. Are you seeing the picture? You could have heard a pin drop. The eyes are bouncing back and forth between Jesus and the man on the bed. Can you do it, Martha? I don't know. The children are lost.
Verse 10.
But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Oh, man, that's powerful. That's powerful. That you may know that I am the Son of God. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go to your house. Now look at verse 12. And what? Immediately he rose and took up his bed, and no one could ever say again that Jesus' doctrine was false. Are you with me? Now notice. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus ties the truthfulness of his doctrine with his ability to meet human needs physically. Now let's bring it down to us today. We are Seventh-day Adventists, amen? But friends, to somebody out there, when we go out knocking on doors and say, In the course of our Bible studies, there is a sanctuary in heaven. People say, what? Where'd you get that? When we tell them there's a high priest ministering in the sanctuary above, people say, nobody else teaches that. When we say you got to go to church on Saturday, nobody goes to church on Saturday. When we say when you die, you don't go to heaven or hell. You go to the grave. That's what the Bible teaches. Well, if you didn't go to hell, it wouldn't be scary enough to serve God. I've had Baptists tell me that. Bless their hearts. They love the Lord with all their hearts, but they've never heard the truth. Now, why did God give us the message of hell? He gave it to Seventh-day Adventists. And here's why. The same thing Jesus did here. I've used it. People can't see a heavenly sanctuary. They can't see an investigative judgment. They can't see heaven or hell. But they can see their blood pressure come down. They can see their cholesterol come down. They can see their weight coming off. They can feel their brain start to think again. They can feel the energy levels come back. And it all happens in 2 to 4 weeks. And they say, what my doctor hasn't been able to do in 20 years, you did in a month. Just what Jesus did. That you may know that my doctrine is true, I'm going to work on your physical body. Now here's what happened. Friends, this is a powerful tool, guys. Now, you work with somebody as in Jesus' method. You help them to lower their blood pressure by proper eating and by exercise and by stress control. And you help them to get over their diabetes medicine or to greatly lower their diabetes medicine. You've helped them to get over their ADD or to greatly reduce their symptoms. Whatever it is, God's method works. You've helped them shed that 100 pounds they've never been able to get rid of. You've helped them get more energy. You've helped them stop snoring at night. I've had it happen. A man's wife said to me one day, I know when my husband is cheating on his diet because he snores at night. Okay, do you have their attention now? Oh, you got their attention big time because you have just done what no one else could do. Now you're going to Bible studies with a person. This happened to me. A miner from Southern Illinois. He was coming to our cooking schools in our house when we were living in Southern Illinois. He was there for four weeks, one night a week for 4 weeks. The first time he came in, his kids were almost carving our table with their knives. They're running around the house like little out of control people. By the fourth night they were there, the children were sitting quietly coloring. The wife was starting to lose weight. The man, Jerry, I think his name was, he came in and he was walking on air, Pastor. He was just so excited. I said, Jerry, what's going on? He said, you'll never believe this. I went to the doctor today for my physical and said, I've never been this healthy in my life. He said, my cholesterol's never been this low. My triglycerides have never been this low. My blood pressure's never been this low. What are you guys doing to me? And I said, we're showing you the way Jesus wants you to live. He said, you know what? When I first walked in here 4 weeks ago, I thought you guys had blown it off Mars. What you were telling us sounded so weird. But he said, now I see it works. 4 months later, we're in Bible studies with this man. We got to the passage, the Bible study on, is there a hell? We got through the Bible study. So, Jerry, what do you think? He said, there's got to be a hell. He said, if there was no hell, it wouldn't be scary enough. You wouldn't want to serve God. I said, Jerry, remember how you felt about what we were telling you about diet and living the first night you came into our room? He said, yeah. I said, you thought it was weird, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, did it work? He said, yeah. I said, Jerry, this will work too. Give it time. Do you see the message we have? Do you see what we can do with it? Just like Jesus did. I know that what I'm saying sounds weird. I know it sounds weird that I can forgive sins, but that you may know I have the power to forgive sins. Son, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And the physical miracle established the spirituality of his doctrine. Friends, that's why we're told the method alone of Christ will work, because it grabs people's attention. Let me tell you about these magazines. Balance Magazine. I praise God you're going to start using these magazines. I've been using them now in my outreach for about 2 years. Can I tell you some stories before we leave? My wife was traveling. My wife travels a lot. She went up to Canada to do some meetings up there for a pastor's workshop. She had Balance magazines in her bag, in her computer bag. As she got off the airplane in British Columbia, there was a bunch of American tourists, because that's the port of call to take cruises to Alaska. So there were a bunch of tourists there to take a cruise to Alaska. Well, they were standing in the customs line, and a lady looked at my wife and said, are you here alone for the cruise? No, I said, I'm not here for a cruise. I'm here to do health education meetings. The lady said, really? And they got to talking, and Vicki just felt impressed. Give her a Balance magazine. So Vicki literally reached in her bag, didn't even know what magazine she was pulling out. She pulls out this one right here, Superfoods That Fight Cancer. And she said, I want you to have this. It's a magazine that I do. The lady looked at the cover, and she began to weep. The husband looked at my wife and said, she was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Did the Holy Spirit know what magazine she needed? My wife was able to pray with her and encourage her. And then she left. She went out to the curb, got on the bus to go get a rental car. She realized she wanted to leave a tip for the man, but all she had in her pocket was a 20. Well, you don't leave a $20 tip. So she said, "Lord, what should I give?" And the Lord impressed him, "Give him a magazine." So she reaches into her bag without even looking, pulls out a magazine. This one right here. Feeding the Big Four. Metabolic syndrome. Diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. She said, "You know, I feel so embarrassed." She said, I don't have a tip to give you, but I'd love for you to have this magazine. I write it." And he looked at it and he went, "How did you know? I was just diagnosed with high blood pressure. How did you know I needed this magazine?" Who knew he needed the magazine? Goodness. She's on another flight, coming home. Because she travels so much, she gets free first class upgrades. So she's sitting in first class, and the lady sitting next to her body language was, "Don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm here in my little cocoon. Don't bother me." So my wife was sitting, whenever she studies, she sits Indian style, and she's sitting on the seat doing her writing for a book that she's working on, and a steward walked by and said, "Oh, are you doing yoga?" Because the way she was sitting. And Becky said, "Oh, no, I always sit like this when I'm writing." "So what are you writing?" "So I'm a health researcher, and I'm writing a book." He said, "Really?" And Becky said, "Well, yeah, I do magazines, too." She said, why don't I give you this?" She said, "You can have this magazine." He said, "Well, thanks a lot." And it was this one. It was on junk food. And he said, "Man, I have a huge problem with junk food." The girl sitting next to Becky heard that. She looked over at her, and she said, "You write about health?" And this is the girl who said, "Don't talk to me. I don't want to be bothered." Her body language changed. Vicky said, "Yeah." So they always ask an innocuous question first. Just kind of break the ice. She said, "What about organic? Do you think we should eat organic?" So Vicky talked to her about that. And then she said, after asking about organic food, she starts crying. She said, "Look at me. I'm a wreck. I'm 40 pounds overweight. I can't lose this weight. I'm addicted to junk food. What can you do to help me?" How did Vicky reach that girl? To help. She didn't need anything else, but she knew she was breaking down. Friends, do you realize how many people there are in this community who will not respond to a Bible study, but they'll respond to help? They'll respond to help. Vicky was able to pray with that girl. That girl looked at this magazine. And she read the whole thing in the hours they had left on the flight. And by the way, there are spiritual articles in every single magazine with ability to get Bible studies and Bible and a Final Events DVD. This is a silent missionary you leave behind. When she was done, she said to Vicky, she said, "You know what?" She said, "This makes sense." She said, "I can do this." Vicky had prayer with that girl and walked off the airplane. I always put my tips inside this. When I eat at a restaurant, I just put it right inside. Leave it out about this far. We were eating in a restaurant down in Lansing. I left the tip in there, walked out. As we're getting in a car, the waitress runs out. Wait. Waving the magazine up and down. I get out of the car and say, "What's wrong?" She said, "My friend inside wants one of these. You got another one?" It had been 15 seconds. So I said, "Sure, we got another one." Gave it to her. We walked back into that restaurant 3 months later. Amy's working. She says, "Man, that magazine was good. You got any more of those things?" 3 months! Why did she remember? Because it met her physical needs. She didn't feel hammered on. "Oh, they're trying to make me a Christian." No, I'm trying to meet her physical need. Am I trying to make her a Christian? You better believe I am. But I'm reaching her physical need first, like Jesus did. Friends, I challenge you. There's a church down in Atlanta that's doing these magazines right now. They're doing it to plant new churches all around Atlanta. They said that when they were first going out, Pam, the people would say, "I don't want to go door to door." People will say no. People, I don't know what to say. You know how easy it is to pass these out door to door? Let me show you how easy it is. Here's what I do when I go up to the door. Person comes to the door. "Hi, I'm Dane Griffin. I'm from the local Seventh-day Adventist Church. You've probably heard about us on CNN News and National Geographic Magazine." Is that a good way to go? Yeah, man, establish your authority. We're concerned about the health of our community. I'd like you to have a free magazine. I'll be back in 2 weeks to see how you like it. And I leave. Is that hard to do? 2 weeks later, I come back. How'd you like that last magazine? Oh, I really like that article about diabetes. Really? Are you suffering? No, but my uncle has diabetes. Really? Well, here's one you like about cancer. I'll be back in 2 weeks to tell you like it. I walk away. Come back in 2 weeks. Hey, I'd like that last... Oh, these recipes are incredible. What am I doing? I'm making a friendship. I'm building a friendship. I may not even know their name yet, but they trust me because they've been reading the articles. They've been testing these things out. I am building a friendship at that door. Now, who is it easier to give a Bible study to, a stranger or a friend? Especially when you've won their confidence because you've ministered to their needs. Friends, I'll tell you what. These are silent missionaries. These are silent missionaries that you can pass these out everywhere. Don't just take them door to door. Take them out everywhere you go. These should be spread like the leaves of autumn. Why? Because it's the way Jesus worked. The physical manifestation of Christ's power prepares the way for the reception of Christ's power in the life. Because you have done what no one else can do. You've made them feel better. You've lowered their blood pressure. You've lowered their cholesterol. No, you didn't do it. Jesus did. But he used you to do it. How about it? Anybody want to try it? If you don't, you're missing a blessing. You will never... E.W. Dempsey down in Georgia Cumberland, I'm going to tell you one more story, I'm going to stop. He said they purposely... He's in charge of Dark County Evangelism down there in Georgia Cumberland Conference. They're using Balance magazines door-to-door. Pam, in that church in Atlanta, the people that said they were afraid to go out, when they hit their first four doors, they said, "This is so much fun! I've never had this much fun!" And they were looking forward to going out every week. They have yet to have anybody say no at the door. Why? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because people respond to physical need. E.W. Dempsey said they chose a county that they'd never had good success in. It took magazines door to door. After the fourth visit, they had people saying, "Where do you people go to church? We want to know what else you believe." One lady said, "Would you please send somebody to give me Bible study? I like what you people are saying." Friends, the method of Jesus works. The method of Jesus works. Jesus has promised his success. He's promised that he will be with us. He's promised to go with you. He's promised to give you results. In fact, there's one book that I like that says this: when we work for God, he makes himself responsible for his success. How can you fail? I challenge you in the Clare Seventh-day Adventist Church to begin to practice evangelism using God's method, mingling among the people, meeting their needs, winning their confidence. It makes it so much easier to bid them to follow Jesus. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the great plan of salvation you have given to us. Lord, I want to thank you today for getting me through this sermon. I wasn't sure if I could do it. But Lord, thank you for the strength you've given to me. Thank you for the healing that you've brought. Lord, I pray that this church will never be the same again as they begin to work in your way, in a very new way, in a very special way. That they will see that many people who would never admit to a spiritual need will admit to a physical need. Father, bless this church. Bless their outreach. I pray that you would bless each member here, each visitor here, that they will feel your call upon their lives today.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.